Good morning. Thank you for coming to worship today. Glad to be together with you guys this morning as we, man, as we just step into the Lord's presence. We're so aware that He is with us as we sing songs, as we see things like baptism happen, and as we dive into God's Word. So as we continue to worship this morning, why don't you get your Bibles out? If you have that with you, go ahead and open up to the book of 1 Kings. We're going to be starting in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 6. Look, if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one under that chair right there in front of you. If you don't own one, we want you to take one home with you. Don't take somebody else's, though. We've got some that are back on these shelves, bookshelves right next to the tech booth back here. Just take one of those as a gift from us to you this morning. Now, what we're doing is we are going to continue a conversation that Kevin began last week about gratitude. And I mean, let's just, if you were here last week, have you not been thinking about that sermon all week this week? You know, about how grateful we should be for the people and even the problems that are in our life. You know, one of the things Kevin mentioned last week, I thought brought a funny story to mind. He talked about how he loved to deer hunt, and you know, this just happens to be opening season for gun season. And let me tell you a little story about Kevin. Kevin, he mentioned last week that he loves to deer hunt, but he also loves to hunt with his son-in-law, Travis. Well, they were hunting, this is not too long ago, actually last year they were hunting. They got out, got in their stands, and just as the sun came up and the light started to shine through the trees, guess what happened? A deer steps out, begging. Two shots ring out, one deer falls. So what do? You know, if you're a hunter, you know what to do. You wait, right? You know, you don't just jump out. So they waited, and they just texted each other, I got one too. So they actually both get, okay, I'm going to go now. Guess what happens? They show up at the same deer. But it's only been shot once. So what would you do? The same thing they did. Sorry, you missed, man. So they kind of start getting in this argument about whose deer it actually is. And you see, they have to kind of figure it out because they got to take it to the processor and who's going to turn their tag in. So they argue all the way to the processor. They get to the processor and they're like, okay, we don't know what to do. You know, this is the same guy they've been to over and over and over again. So he kind of knows them. And he says, well, I tell you what, let me take a look at the deer. So he walks out and he looks out and he always calls Kevin preacher. Says, preacher, you killed that deer. You know how I know? Look at the shot. It went in one ear and out the other. Now, that was a little joke. That didn't really happen. So, you know, next time you see Kevin, that's not really what happened there. Look, I'm thankful that I can even tell a joke like that, you know, about our lead pastor. Now, that's one of the things that I love about him is how many times do you hear Kevin say, I'm the lead pastor at New Work Fellowship? You don't really hear him say, he says, I'm one of the pastors. We're kind of letting you in on a little secret here, you know. Now, let me tell you why I'm thankful for that and why I'm grateful for that. You see, God called me out of student ministry into pastoral ministry, and I know it's all pastoral. This is just kind of some of the handles and the tags that we put on it. But one of the things that I'm so grateful for about being at New Work is working with Kevin as our lead pastor. And you know why? It's because he makes room for others to be able to pursue their call, for the Lord to be able to work in their life and build them up. It is rare that you find a tremendous leader like Kevin who is humble enough to step aside and know that this is Jesus' church, not mine, and to be the type of person that builds people up and wants to see God's kingdom built up in them. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I am the recipient of that. Every time you see me preach, it's because Kevin has said, why don't you take the wheel for a Sunday? Aren't you thankful for people in your life like that? Aren't you grateful for people in life like that, that kind of help build you up, and they're all about God's vision for the future and who you are? And really, that's kind of what we're talking about, you know, being thankful, being grateful. And we're using the gardens of the Bible to talk about it, because that's a picture of growth. It's a picture of God planting something in our lives, but it's also a very interesting thing to look at in Scripture, because God places these gardens throughout Scripture. Now, what we're going to do today is we're actually going to look at something that at face value you might not think, well, that's not a garden, that's a Those are buildings, right? We're going to look at the temple in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 6, and then we're going to look at the tabernacle. Now, we're actually kind of traveling back in time as we have this discussion this morning, but there is something about the way God built both the temple and the tabernacle that points to the garden and that should be foundational for us in our worship, because it teaches us to be thankful and worship with a grateful heart. So let's kind of walk through it and let's kind of look at it. 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 14. You ready? You hanging with me? Verses 14 through 38. Here we go. Let's get through it. 1 Kings 6, 14 through 38. This is a description of the temple. So Solomon finished building the temple. The entire inside from floor to ceiling was paneled with wood. Now listen, as we read through this, look for images or reminders of a garden. The entire inside from floor to ceiling was paneled with wood. He paneled the walls and ceilings with cedar, and he used planks of cypress for the floors. He partitioned off an inner sanctuary, the most holy place. At the far end of the temple, it was 30 feet deep and was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. The main room of the temple outside, the most holy place, was 60 feet long. Cedar paneling completely covered the stone walls throughout the temple, and the paneling was decorated with carvings of gourds and open flowers. He prepared the inner sanctuary at the far end of the temple where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant would be placed. The inner sanctuary was 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 30 feet high. He overlaid the inside with solid gold. He also overlaid the altar made of cedar. Then Solomon overlaid the rest of the temple's interior with solid gold, and he made gold chains to protect the entrance to the most holy place. So he finished overlaying the entire temple with gold, including the altar that belonged to the most holy place. Verse 23. He made two cherubim of wild olive wood, each 15 feet tall, and placed them in the inner sanctuary. The wingspan of each of the cherubim was 15 feet, each wing being 7.5 feet long. The two cherubim were identical in shape and size. Each was 15 feet tall. He placed them side by side in the inner sanctuary of the temple. Their outspread wings reached from wall to wall, while their inner wings touched at the center of the room. He overlaid the two cherubim with gold. Okay, you still with me? Now, what is it that we're looking for? What is it that we're listening for here? What is it that reminds you of a garden? Have you heard anything yet? Listen to this. Verse 31. Verse 29. He decorated the walls of the inner sanctuary and the main room with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. He overlaid the floor in both rooms with gold. For the entrance to the inner sanctuary, he made double doors of wild olive wood with five-sided doorposts. These double doors were decorated with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. The doors, including the decorations of cherubim and palm trees, were overlaid with gold. Then he made four-sided doorposts of wild olive wood for the entrance of the temple. There were two folding doors of cypress wood, and each door was hinged to fold back upon itself. These doors were decorated with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid evenly with gold. The walls of the inner courtyard were built so that there was one layer of cedar beams between every three layers of finished stone. We'll just stop there. Now, let me ask you a question. When you're reading through Scripture and you come across a passage of Scripture like this, what do you typically do with it? Yeah, you're going through that, reading through the Bible in a year, or maybe, you know, you've really got a fire under you and you're doing like reading through the Bible in 90 days. If you really want to get on a rail, do that plan that's reading through the Bible in 30 days. Hello. But what do you do when you get to a passage of Scripture like this that is just, you know, it seems so technical and there's so many details. You do kind of the same thing I do sometimes? Okay, let's get through it. If I read through one more cherubim. But here's what I want us to see. If you really focus on what God is doing here, what kind of picture does this paint of the detail of the temple that he is building? Are you able to actually see it in your mind if you stop and you walk through it and walk slowly through it and you let the Lord kind of build that picture in your mind? Don't you see that if you actually were able to go into the temple, what is it that it would remind you of? What is it that you would think of? What was God doing in the details of building the temple? He was reminding his people of a garden. The garden, what we call the Garden of Eden, a place in time where everything was right, a place in time where his plan was perfect in how we saw it and how we lived it out. He's reminding us that he knows every single detail, not only of the temple, but here's what we really need to see. He knows every single detail of your life. You know that God created you and he built you, and what would he say about you if he wrote a description of you? I guarantee you he would know every detail of your life. And here's the thing that I want us to understand as kind of foundational this morning. Just like the temple, God has placed things around you and in your life that serve as a reminder of the way things should be. I believe, this is, if you've got your sermon notes there, you can fill this in. I believe that God has given you the capacity for gratitude for the very purpose of calling you to himself. I think the reason that we even have the capacity to be thankful in the first place is given to us so that we can be drawn to God. I mean, think about that for a second. That's everyone that's alive. And what other part of creation actually has the capacity to be grateful, to be thankful, to sit down and look around and go, wow. I mean, the people that I've known in my life that they don't believe in God, they would say, man, I am an atheist. And that whole God thing, it's a delusion. You've made it up. You see, there's this little part of your brain that produces these kinds of chemicals that, you know, makes you think that there's a God. They've got a lot of explanations about that. And look, I'm not talking down about that. Here's my point is this. Even that person, when they are alone and when they are sitting by themselves, and they're thinking to themselves about the world and how it's made, or they just hear a song that's meaningful and it hits deep, even that person has this sense that there's something bigger going on here. I'm so thankful for this. Andrew Peterson, he's one of my favorite artists. He wrote a song. I love this song. It's called "Don't You Want to Thank Someone for This?" And he's writing on one verse, he's writing to the unbeliever, and then another verse, he's actually writing to the believer, because here's the thing about it. Even those of us who know Jesus, we are still haunted by some thoughts sometimes. See, our problem is a lot of times we are haunted by thoughts of unbelief. Well, what if? Because a lot of times we see this world and we see it according to our own limitations, our own mistakes, and what if God isn't? And then we fill in that blank. You see, but I think God has given us the capacity for thankfulness, the capacity for gratitude to draw us to him. Listen to this verse that Andrew Peterson writes in his song, "Don't You Want to Thank Someone." The first verse where he's writing to the unbeliever, he said, "Can't you feel it in your bones? Something isn't right here. Something that you've always known, but you just don't know why. Because every time the sun goes down, we face another night here, waiting for the world to spin around just to survive. But when you see the morning sun burning through the silver mist, don't you want to thank someone? Don't you want to thank someone for this? Don't you ever wonder why, in spite of all that's wrong here, there's still so much that goes right and beauty abounds? Because sometimes when you walk outside, the air is full of song. The thunder rolls and the baby sighs and the rain comes down. And when you see the spring has come and it warms you like a mother's kiss, don't you want to thank someone? Don't you want to thank someone for this? Why is it that God has built us with the capacity for gratitude? And then listen to what he says to the believer. He says, now I can see the world is charged. It's glimmering with promises, written in a script of stars dripping from the prophet's lips. But still, my thirst is never slaked. I'm hounded by a restlessness, eaten by this endless ache. But still, I want to give thanks for this, because I can see it in the seas of wheat. I can feel it when the horses run. It's howling in the snowy peaks. It's blazing in the midnight sun. Just behind a veil of wind, a million angels waiting in the wings, a swirling storm of cherubim making ready for the reckoning. Don't you want to thank someone? Don't you want to thank someone for this? What is it that God has placed in your life that just like the people of God walking into the temple, looking at how he's constructed that place with the visual reminders of the garden, what has God placed in your life that serves as that for you, that's calling you to him? Because here's the biggest question that we have to answer. Everyone does. When God calls us to him, he has actually given us a way to him. And it is through his son, Jesus Christ. So really the biggest question is, have I come to God through Christ? Have I stepped out in faith? In the midst of all that calls me and all that draws me, God still asks us to have faith and step into forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Have you done that? It's the most important thing that you can do, because it is the foundation for a gratitude that is far beyond anything else that you will ever experience. I mean, think about the weight of your sin, everything that you've ever done wrong, and think about the forgiveness that you experience because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Guess which one outweighs the other? And we should be thankful for that. But sometimes, let's just be honest, we've got barriers in our life when it comes to gratitude, right? What are the barriers that you experience in your life? Typically, it's circumstances, it's busyness, it's, you know, whatever. There are things in this world, because we live in a broken world, that we deal with that sometimes blind us, give us tunnel vision, and we really can't see what God is doing. That's why I think it's important that we not only look at the temple today, but we also look at the tabernacle. You see, these are two separate buildings, two separate times. The tabernacle is what God asked his people to construct after he redeemed them, after he called them, rescued them out of Egypt, and led them into the wilderness. He basically said, I want you to build me a tent, because I want to dwell with you. I want to be among my people. So while the tabernacle was permanent, it was in Jerusalem, it was solid. The temple was in Jerusalem, it was permanent, it was solid. The tabernacle is something that they took with them through all of the wandering in the wilderness. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 37, verses 17 through 24. Exodus 37. We're going to read verses 17 through 24. Now, look, we don't have time today to read through all of the chapters that are written about the construction of the tabernacle in the book of Exodus. It's chapter upon chapter upon chapter, in detail about every aspect of the tabernacle. Again, I would say this is a reminder that God is interested in the details of life, and he's also interested in the details of your life. Don't think he turns a blind eye to you and everything that you are, everything that you're going through, and who he is creating you to be. But I want us to focus on one aspect of the tabernacle today, and I want us to see how, again, it's a reminder of the garden. It's a reminder of the things that are right in this world and how God created the world to be in the beginning. Let's look at the lamp. Lampstand in verse 17 of chapter 37 of the book of Exodus. Then Bezalel made the lampstand of pure hammered gold. He made the entire lampstand and its decorations of one piece. the base, center stem, lamp cups, buds, and petals. Do you hear it already? The lampstand had six branches going out from the center stem, three on each side. Each of the six branches had three lamp cups shaped like almond blossoms, complete with buds and petals. The center stem of the lampstand was crafted with four lamp cups shaped like almond blossoms, complete with buds and petals. There was an almond bud beneath each pair of branches where the six branches extended from the center stem, all made of one piece. The almond buds and the branches were all of one piece with the center stem, and they were hammered from pure gold. He also made seven lamps for the lampstand, lamp snuffers, trays, and all of pure gold. The entire lampstand, along with its accessories, was made from 75 pounds of pure gold. Now, this is shaped like what you think of in your mind, a menorah. It's the lampstand in the tabernacle, and if you walked into the tabernacle and could see it, what it would remind you of and what it reminded the people of God of was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. It reminded them that God has a plan, and I think that's really important because if you think about the tabernacle, where did God ask them to construct the tabernacle? Second thing I want us to understand is this. Not only that God gave you the capacity for gratitude for the purpose of drawing you to Him, but that God allows gratitude to multiply your worship in times of struggle. Gratitude multiplies your worship in times of struggle. Do you know where the tabernacle was constructed? In the wilderness. Let me tell you what that means. It's the desert. There is nothing there. These people who were God's people that were in Egypt, He called them out, He redeemed them, He took them to a place, Mount Sinai, where He said, I am your God, you are my people. And then what did He do? He said, I'm going to take you to a place of promise, the promised land. But there was something that went on in between that covenant moment and that place of promise. He took them into the desert. Have you ever been in the desert before? Man, I remember the first time I was in the desert. I was like, wow, I don't want to get out of the car. I feel like I would dry up and go thirsty and be calling for water immediately. I don't know. I've just grown up in the Southeast. We've got a lot of water. We've got a lot of trees. We've got a lot of... The desert, there's nothing. Can you imagine how you would feel if you were in the desert and the only thing you had known was slavery before? Don't you see how important it was for God to remind them that He was present with them and also remind them that He has a plan? You see, why is it that you think Israel wandered in the wilderness? Anybody remember how long? 40 years! And this isn't like they were, you know, on a straight path through the wilderness. It's crazy. If you look at what they actually did in the wilderness, they're just looping around and around and around. This is not a big place when you compare it to the rest of the earth. It's just a small, small place that they're just going around and around and around and around, and you know what that's like. You ever feel like in your life, you're just kind of stuck in a set of circumstances? Do you ever feel like you're spinning your wheels and you're not getting anywhere? And do those things ever kind of break you down to the point where you forget about God's good blessings in your life? Think about your life right now. Okay? Think about your life over the past week, past weekend, past month, this past year. It's one of the things I love about the holidays is we get to kind of remember. Are you experiencing in your life, would you say that you're experiencing any type of struggle? Now do something with me here, okay? Remember, we're all family. We're all friends here, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you look back over your life right now and you would say, I am experiencing and I have been experiencing struggle in my life, would you raise your hand? Wow. Keep it up for just a second. First thing that I want you to see is this. This is a common experience. You are not alone. And I guarantee if we all got together and started talking about whatever that struggle was, we're going through some of the same things in this life. Now put your hands back up one more time for me, okay? We're not going to do this long. I know it's awkward for some of you. Like, come on, I'm an introvert. This is terrible. Raise that other hand for just a second. And think about this. Think about when we will all be together in the presence of the Lord, worshiping Him, when everything is made right as brothers and sisters in Christ, and the struggles that we go through now are gone because we are in the presence of a God who will wipe every tear from our eyes. You see, on one hand, we struggle. You can put your hands down. But on the other hand, we are reminded that God is with us. We can look back and we can see God. And what is it that He's placed in our lives that remind us of that? And we can be sure that as we move forward in this life, that He has a place of promise for us. So I don't know what kind of struggle you're going through right now, but it's for the same purpose that the Israelites were in the desert. You are going through a process. God is taking you through a process of making you His own. And this is what we need to understand. In the midst of that process, be thankful. Be thankful for the process God is walking with you through. Don't forget that He is with you. Be thankful for the process God is walking with you through to make you a person who will experience a place of promise. You see, God doesn't change. He wants to do the same thing with us that He wants to do with everybody else. He wants to meet us where we are in our sin. He wants us to be redeemed, and He wants us to not only just be forgiven and redeemed, He wants us to have a meaningful, deep relationship with Him. And because the only thing we know is sin, we have to go through a process of growing in our life. And that is painful, isn't it? But we will be in that place of promise if we know Jesus Christ. And think about that when you had both hands raised. Think about the weight of your struggle compared to the weight of an eternity in the presence of our loving Father, of Jesus Christ, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think it'll all just evaporate. And the weight of that joy far outweighs any struggle that we're going through in our life. So here's what I think we need to do. So if God's given us the capacity for gratitude, and He's given it to us for the purpose of drawing us to Himself, and He even sees the barriers that we have in our life when it comes to being grateful and being thankful and worshiping the Lord, I think the best way for us to respond, the best way for you to respond, is to worship with a thankful heart. Worship with a grateful heart. I mean, think about it. I know when we talk, I'm going to use this illustration with these kind of boundaries around it, because when we talk about worship, immediately I think the first thing that may come to our minds is what we're doing right here and now, right? Coming to church on a Sunday morning, singing songs to the Lord, praying together, seeing things like baptism happen, diving into God's Word. Now, the truth of the matter, and I think we would all say this too, worship is much broader than that. Worship is a life that we live. In other words, you know, you think about work, we work for the Lord, not as for man, right? That's an act of worship. But let's just kind of keep it within the boundaries of what we do here this morning on Sunday mornings. Do you ever have a Sunday when you're coming to worship? Maybe it's rare. Maybe it's not. But do you ever have a Sunday when you kind of come in and you are more weighted down by the challenges and the circumstances of your life that are not well than having an actual grateful, thankful heart for worship? Let's put it this way. Do you ever come to worship and you're just not feeling it? I know nobody's raising their hand now, are they? We're like, don't raise my hand. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I do too. Look, there are Sundays when I show up and I have to have a conversation with the Lord and say, God, chip away the stuff that's built up around my heart this week. God, would you please stoke the fire? Would you please uncover those deep burning embers? And God, would you please, please help me to worship you this morning. Have you ever had that experience? And isn't it amazing how faithful God is in those prayers? And isn't it amazing how faithful he is to those promises? Because God breathes into those prayers and he stokes the fires of our heart. And have you ever come in cold, with a cold heart in worship, but by the time you leave, God has used something? He's used a song, he's used a scripture, he's used someone else in your life, and it has stoked those fires. Now that's a common experience for a lot of us, but think about this. What would it be like if before we even showed up here on Sunday mornings, we started being thankful to God? And when we walked through these doors, we already had those fires stoked. Do you know gratitude is the thing that allows us to do that? It multiplies our worship and struggle, and it brings us into the realization that God is with us. Do you know what kind of worship we would experience if we all showed up on Sunday mornings like that? It would be amazing. So Lord, we need to worship God from a thankful heart, because it does three things. The first thing I believe that it does is this: it blesses God. Do you know that you actually were created with the ability to bless God himself, to bless the Lord who created the universe and everything in it? I know this because God shows us this in Scripture. But let me give you a little illustration real quick. Write this down, okay? Maybe you might not have enough room on your sermon notes. I'm not sure. You can turn it sideways, do whatever you want to. Write it on, you know, your husband or wife's hand. I don't know. Just write it down. Okay, here we go. 10 to the 24th power. Let's write it out long. That's a 1 with 24 zeros behind it. 10 to the 24th power. Now, I'm going to talk here for just a second because I know some of you are still writing zeros and you're trying to figure out where the commas go, right? Where the decimal points go. I used English talking about math. I'm not a mathematician. And that's as far as we're going with the math today, because here's what I want you to understand. What is that number? 10 to the 24th power, that is 1 septillion. Do you know that that is the number of processes that are going on within your body at any given moment? Take 1 second out of your life and you have 1 septillion processes going on in your body. And so when we read Psalms 103, 1 and 2, think about what that looks like to the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me. If you feel like you don't have anything left and there's nothing in you and you just can't worship the Lord because of the circumstances in your life, understand that when God sees you, he sees deeply, he sees everything, and he is blessed when we say, with all that I am, I will bless the Lord. So why should we worship with a thankful heart? Because number one, it blesses God. Number two, it benefits you. You know, it benefits you to worship the Lord with a thankful heart. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 says this: I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. There's a devotional that I read a lot of mornings by Charles Spurgeon. It's called Morning and Evening. And one of the things that he said recently in one of his devotionals was this, in talking about this very thing. He said, praise is one of the greater means of promoting spiritual growth among the believer, within the believer. What does it do? It quickens the pulse of the believer. It removes our burdens. It excites our hope, and it increases our faith. Just when you take your focus off of your problems and begin to praise God for the good things he has done in your life and for who he is, it benefits you in a great way. It blesses God. It benefits you. And then the third thing it does is it strengthens others. When we worship God from a thankful heart, when we worship God with a heart that is full of gratitude, it strengthens others. Psalm chapter 89, verses 15 through 18. Listen to how this is describing in the point of view from it. Happy are those who hear the joyful call of worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exult in your righteousness. You are their glorious strength. It pleases you to make us strong. Yes, our protection comes from the Lord, and He, the Holy One of Israel, has given us our King. Worship makes a difference. Worshiping the Lord from a grateful heart makes a huge difference. So we should know that God has given us the ability and the capacity for gratefulness for a purpose. It's to draw us to Him. We should know that, yeah, we live in a broken world, and there are things that are going to come into our lives. There are things that we're dealing with right now that would distract us from the Lord. The truth of the matter is, we have an opposer. But God has still placed those things in our life, those pictures that speak 1,000 words, that help us to worship Him from a thankful heart. And even in our weakness, we will see that the Lord is strong. So our final thought is this: a grateful heart overflows in praise. Don't you want to thank someone for that? Let's go to Him. God, we thank You for how good You are to us. We thank You for creating us, the world, the universe, and everything in it. God, we thank You that You are holy. God, we thank You for Your Son Jesus, for His life that He lived, for His death, His burial, and His resurrection that calls us to You and gives us a way to You. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and the work of Your Spirit in our lives as believers and even in the lives of a non-believer. God, we thank You today because we can be saved. And Lord, if there's anybody that's here that is not saved, they do not know You, You are not in right relationship with them, and they are not in right relationship with You because of the sin that they've, well, that's in their life. God, we pray that today would be the day that they turn from that and they're obedient to the call that Jesus Himself gave us, the call of the gospel. Repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Lord, we thank You for that. For those of us that are going through circumstances in our life where we always see is the barrier, all we see is that we're in a desert, Lord, we thank You that You haven't deserted us, that You're right in the middle of it with us. Just like Jesus in the boat with His disciples in the midst of the storm, You are with us now, and You are wanting us to focus on You. We thank You that You've given us the ability to do that, and we pray that today would be a day where we're lifted up because of that. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our ushers are coming forward at this time, as they do. And this basket comes by. If you don't mind placing that card, that connect card in that basket along with your offering, we would appreciate that. And then let's continue to respond to the Lord as He leads us today.